Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. With me on the show today, I have Leo Hyman, who those that follow A Minute to Midnight know he pretty much is a regular guest now on the show, and man, they're always great conversations, so I'm sure today will be as well. So welcome back, Leo.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tony.
It's always a pleasure. So I guess there's a few things we could cover, but probably the good place to start, I think, is the banking crisis. In fact, yeah. You just put out an article a couple of days ago on it, and your article, let me find it, it was titled, "How Many More Bank Failures Will It Take to Shake Americans' Confidence in the Full Faith and Credit of the U.S. Government?" So, yeah, perhaps you could fill us in, you know. I mean, I'm seeing J.P. Morgan taking over another bank, which is pretty significant. That's the second one now. So it's been...
I think J.P. Morgan is the second or third largest bank in the United States, and they just got bigger. First Republic is the, third or fourth bank to fail over the last 2 months. And it's another big one, over 200 billion in assets. It was the 14th largest bank in the United States. So, the data now shows that this is the third one. Okay. We had Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, earlier in the springtime. I think it was around mid-March. So these three banks in total, Tony, have more assets than the 25 banks that collapsed into the 2008 banking crisis.
And of course, globally, you've got the fourth one would have been Credit Suisse as well.
Yes. So, have they actually gone under?
Well, they've been bought out, taken over. So
Right. So you're right. Globally, it's the fourth one, third major bank in the U.S. in 2 months. And the Department of Treasury has warned us that there will be, quote, more banks that fail this year in 2023. So maybe we're just getting started.
Oh, I think so. I can't see it stopping here. And there's so many other aspects to the whole, you know, financial crisis that's unwinding. Even though they try and tell you it isn't, all the signals are telling you it is.
Right. I mean, they're all telling us to just stay calm, trust the system, don't pull your money out of the bank. We've got this covered. You know, the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, will handle this. When the truth is that the FDIC is already overtaxed, and if we see a couple of more of these big banks fail, we're not sure where the money's going to come from.
Well, that's right. They can't cover all of it. Well, I think this is an engineered collapse of the banking system, and to put the power into a few, take away a lot of the smaller and medium-sized banks and just consolidate. And you're seeing people like J.P. Morgan are on the, you know, the uptake of it. So I don't think it's by accident.
Absolutely. An engineered collapse, quote unquote. Tony, you sound like a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, me no. Get your tinfoil hat back on. I'll never be one of those.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. This seems like it's being done by design. Now, why would they do that? People ask. Well, if you're getting ready to convert from fiat currency, to a cashless system based on digital currency, guess what? Nobody wants to do that. In the countries that are not dictatorships, like let's say Nigeria as an example, where they've rolled out a digital currency already, what they found was that nobody wants to use it. There was a very, very small percentage of people in Nigeria who were using the digital currency. They continued to use the fiat currency. So what did the government of Nigeria do back around the first of the year? I think around January, it could have been give or take a few weeks. They announced that the people, the citizens of Nigeria, could no longer withdraw unlimited amounts of cash. They limited the cash withdrawals to like $40 a day and I think it was around $250 per week. And they said, any more than that, you're going to have to use the digital currency. And so this is the true face of what's going on, Tony. The formerly free world is moving towards a more totalitarian system where they will be telling us that very soon, in my opinion, that, you know, we've had this new form of money. It is the preferred form of money going forward. There will be penalties, fees, or whatever for using the fiat currency, and eventually limits as well. And eventually they will phase it out altogether. But I think that in order to make that transition, I agree with you that they need in many countries, the freest of the countries where people are just simply not used to being told what to do. They're going to have to manufacture a banking crisis. And I think we're seeing the initial makings of that banking crisis now.
Well, in France, it's criminalized now to spend more than $1,000 on something, 1,000 euros, sorry, on something in cash. Like, there is a limit. If you use more than $1,000 for something, 1,000 euros, sorry, you can go to prison. I mean, that's crazy. Is it your money or is it the government's money?
Christine Lagarde. Yeah. She announced, I believe last week or the week before, she was in a podcast interview and she let the cat out of the bag. Mm. The cat slipped out of the bag and she stated in the wide open that even though the limit is 1,000 right now, euros, she said that they plan to make that smaller and smaller to the point where it will become zero in the near future. She didn't say when, but in the future, they have plans to continuously lower that limit that you can use, that you can spend without going to digital euros?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've launching the digital central bank, European central bank currency. So,
right. And yeah. But like always, they plan to do it in increments. Mm. These people are masters of incrementalism. They don't give us the whole plan at first unless they have a Freudian slip and tell us the plan. They do it a little bit at a time. It's like the proverbial frog in the boiling water. You know, it starts off a little bit warm and they just gradually turn up the heat until you finally realize, hey, I'm boiling in this water and it's too late to jump out.
Yes. So, I mean, America, for example, is behind New Zealand in terms of payments. Like, you guys are still writing out checks and, you know, posting people checks and doing it that way. And some payments are kind of difficult to, I notice, over there. Compared to here, it's been for a long time. Checks are phased out. I mean, you can't even use them here anymore.
I just saw an article today, Tony, on a global survey on that very topic. And you're right. The United States still has 13%, I believe, of the public who responded to the survey said that they had written at least one check in the preceding month. So 13% of Americans are still writing checks. And there were other countries as well. I don't remember what they were. We weren't the top, but we were in the top two or three. There was at least a couple of countries that wrote even more checks than we did here in America. But we're definitely in that top three of check writing citizens. But that is what they need to make stop in order to get us to accept this digital currency.
Well, in New Zealand, like I say, checks were phased out. No banks here will even, I think, as far as I'm aware, no banks will take them anymore. So they're gone. But I noticed my bank here in New Zealand has just sent an email out in the last few days saying that they're moving to a system where payments will be 24/7, basically 365 days a year. Like, at the moment, if it's over a weekend, things don't go through till the Monday. Well, that's changing. So it's going to be instant payments, you know, all of the year round. So, which I think is interesting because if you tie that to what is also being announced in the US, back in March, they announced the Federal Reserve announced FedNow, which the Federal Reserve announced FedNow will start operating in July. And with the FedNow service, the Federal Reserve is creating a leading-edge payment system that is resilient, adaptive, and accessible, said Tom Barkin, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond and FedNow program executive sponsor. The launch reflects an important milestone in a journey to help financial institutions serve customer needs for instant payments for better support in nearly every aspect of the economy. So that's coming straight from the Federal Reserve. Now, I don't fully understand how this FedNow system works, but it's definitely setting it up for a digital dollar.
Right. That is going to be the platform for the coming digital dollar, FedNow. You're absolutely right. And I just found the article I was referring to a second ago. The U.S., I was right, 13% of Americans said they used checks in the last 12 months. This was topped only by 14% in Switzerland, 16% in India, and 20%, surprisingly, in France. So the checks are still alive and well in those countries, those four countries, the United States, Switzerland, India, and France. Other than that, you're probably talking about 10% or less of the people still writing checks. And in some of the cases, like you said, in New Zealand, they're completely banned. And this goes right along with what people always ask me, what can we do about, you know, the Great Reset and the coming One World Beast system? People, this is a classic example of what we can do. Continue to use cash. Continue to write checks if your country allows it. Because the more that we voluntarily walk into this new digital system, the quicker they will be to pass laws forcing us into the digital system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because they sell all of this, like with the federal FedNow system, you know, saying that people will be able to receive instant payments at any time of day and recipients will have full access to their funds immediately, supposedly. Of course, when they get down to programmable digital currencies, well, you'll only have access to what they want you to have access to spend it on what they want you to spend it on. But of course, they don't tell you all of that stuff in their official releases. But that's what attracts people. Oh, we can do this instantly. Yeah, we should launch into it. This is wonderful. But they don't see what the end goal is for a lot of these things.
Right. So, they always use the same three selling points. I think we've talked about this before, but they always press upon the people that this new digital instantaneous payment system will be what? Safer, more secure, and more convenient. And tragically, it's that convenience that I think gets most people, like you said. Going back to this survey, the next step, first it's cash and checks, then it's the credit and the cards, then it was the debit cards, then comes the mobile phone payments. And according to this survey, the one country where the instantaneous mobile phone payments had overtaken all other payment types was nowhere else but China, where 67% of the people used their phones to pay in the past year. India, Indonesia, and Nigeria were two more countries with high rates of phone payments. Interestingly, about India, while they still had 16% of people writing checks, they also had a high percentage of people using their phones to make instantaneous payment for goods and services. So interesting data there, but it's all heading towards the global digital currency and eventual phasing out of checks and cash. And as I've said in the past, Tony, the only two things really needed to complete the Beast system, besides the the appearance of the Antichrist. But the system itself really needs two things, and that's a global digital ID system and a global digital money system. Once we have those two things in place, it's really going to be, in my opinion, the point of no return, where, all that we'll be waiting for at that point is the appearance of the Antichrist and this Revelation 13 situation where you actually have laws in place where you cannot buy or sell other than those who show that they have the mark.
And it also talks in Revelation of the 10 kings giving their mind, their full mind to the beast. So basically, they're all in unison. That's the thing. And it is rapidly moving in that direction. By the way, another avenue of all of this is the removal of the US dollar as the global reserve currency. And you've got now, I believe, 24 nations looking to join the BRICS alliance, which was originally Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which are all pretty large economies. But there's 24 countries now in the stages of trying to join that alliance. And according to the Russian state-owned media Sputnik, the BRICS group is in an early stage in developing a new global currency which would circumvent the US dollar. And we know that China, who is, and India are big players in terms of the global United Nations and all of that. I mean, China being a big part of the BRICS group is also a very strong advocate for global governance, put it that way, and all of the, you know, those global institutions, the World Economic Forum and so on. So the BRICS, people, some people seem to see the BRICS group as some kind of saviors. Well, they aren't going to be any sort of savior at all. They're just going to be another move towards that whole beast system, I believe.
I agree. I think, like you said, China is a big advocate of global government. I think what they're fighting over right now is who will control this global, this one world system. And, you know, China and Russia want to be at the fore, at the head of this new system. They don't want to play second fiddle to the U.S. and NATO. You know, who's going to enforce the new world order? Who's going to be the enforcer? I think that's really maybe what they're fighting over. Not so much the terms. I think they agree that we're going to have this new digital system, digital IDs for everyone, digital money that's trackable, traceable, and, you know, for everybody. But they just want to be the top dog in terms of who gets to be the global policeman. That Russia and China are tired of taking their orders from the United States. They want to be able to call the shots. And I think that is what World War III is going to be all about.
It's interesting, too, because those countries are very gold-backed or moving in that direction. And so I know there's a lot of people that don't like precious metals. I think precious metals are actually going to play a big part in the new system. They may not allow you and me to use them, not legally, but they will use them as part of the backing of the new system. I'm pretty much convinced of that, because the central banks of these countries are accumulating gold rapidly. Now, they wouldn't be doing that whilst moving towards a digital currency unless they had some goal to combine them. So how that exactly looks in a backing, I don't know. I mean, I'm not expecting it's ever going to go fully back to a gold-backed only currencies, but I think there will be resources are going to be factored into it, and obviously precious metals is a part of it. So, and I noticed, like today, with the stock market going down, gold's gone up again, silver's gone up. It's moving in the upward direction, some days down a bit, but the general trend is up in that direction. Also, you know, I think people should try and hold some of it. If they possibly can hold some silver or gold or both, they should. I know it's difficult, but and it's getting harder to get, but not a bad idea. Now, you mentioned in your article not to trust the banks, the big banks, but about credit unions and smaller, you know, institutions. I mean, I'm not really sure that I would trust them either, but you had some interesting points.
No, I mean, long term, they're all going to buy into this new system, yeah. Right? I was talking mainly about the short and perhaps the medium term. There's going to be a banking crisis at some point. The banks are either going to close their doors temporarily, or they're going to limit the amount of money that you can remove on a daily or weekly basis. And these banks that are tied in with the FDIC, okay, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation here in America, these are the ones who are going to be leading that charge. As the smaller banks get bought out by the bigger banks and you're left with, you know, a handful of very large banks, these very large banks work hand in glove with the Federal Reserve. So they have that direct tie-in with the beast system being the central banking system of systems of the world. Now, credit unions are a little bit different animal. They're not affiliated with the FDIC. They have their own private insurance network. So while these other banks are closing or limiting the amount of cash that can be withdrawn for a period of time, perhaps during this, as this banking crisis heats up, the credit unions will not be under those same restrictions. Eventually, if they want to do business, I'm sure they will have to buy into it. When the digital currency becomes the only game in town, they're going to have to buy into it. But there will be an interim period where we have, you know, a failing fiat currency and an emerging digital currency. And the Federal Reserve will be using and exploiting the banking crisis and the national debt crisis to use one as a leverage over the other. There, I don't know if that period is going to last for months or years. You have some people, Tony, saying that this whole process could take 10 years to transition completely over to a cashless society. I personally don't think it will take that long. I think it could be done within a period of 12 to 18 months. But that's still a period where I think people, at least here in the United States, with access to money in credit unions, will have more time to prepare than those people with their money in these big banks.
I guess the only thing, and I'm no expert on it, is if those credit unions have invested in derivatives, then and the derivatives market starts collapsing, then they'll go with it if they've been, because obviously they invest money in something as well. So if it's in that derivatives field, then some of those credit unions may collapse with it.
That is a great point. Great point. And I think people who have their money in credit unions should ask that question. As a part owner of this credit union, myself, the depositor, I want to know where this money is being invested. Great point.
Okay. Yes. That I think is something that people can consider. And yeah, do what you can to prepare as much as you can with obviously inflation still going up. And so food is going crazy. And it's interesting how they plan. They tell you that eggs are bad for you all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden there's hardly any eggs around, you know. It's hard to buy them just after they've told you. They're, I mean, it's so orchestrated. It's like when they told you before COVID, oh, toilet paper's going to become hard to get, so everyone runs out and then there's no toilet paper. It's so orchestrated, it's not funny.
Yes. Yeah, they're not even very good at their orchestration. I mean, it's just they make it so obvious, that it's just unbelievable, and yet still so many people believe the lies.
And they, like sheep, they follow. Yeah. So there was another article which you just published, which I think flows on from that, and we're talking about orchestrating. King Charles and the globalists set meeting for September at which they plot, or they will plot, how to accelerate goals of UN Agenda 2030 and the complete digitization of humanity. What can you tell us about that one, Leo? Because it's another interesting article.
Yeah, well, apparently the globalist elites are not real happy with the pace of the progress toward reaching these 17 Agenda 2030 sustainability goals. Here we're 7 years out from 2030, but apparently we're not moving quickly enough to reach those goals, which will as you know, basically turn the world into a complete and utter slave state, a global planetary slave state where we have no more freedom. We are reduced to a QR code on our phones, and eventually they will want to put that QR code under the skin, right?
Yeah.
We know that from their own words. That's not my words. That's theirs. And I have the videos in this article to back up everything that I talk about. And one of them is Yuval Noah Harari talking about the next stage of the surveillance, the global surveillance program, which we accepted, we the people of the world, accepted as normal during the COVID crisis. He said the next stage is to put that surveillance under the skin. And Klaus Schwab has talked about that as well. The merging of man with machine, this whole idea of transhumanism, where they believe that mankind can direct his own evolution through advances in technology. This is what they want to bring about, and they want to escalate it. So they've now called a meeting for September, a special summit where the people affiliated with the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development will hold this summit and plot out how they can escalate, accelerate the progress toward this new world order. And King Charles, by the way, is at the very center of this movement. I've got videos from him pushing the Great Reset. He's going to be coronated, as you know, later this week as the King of England. And have you heard that they are even calling for a public pledge of allegiance to the king at this coronation ceremony on May the 6th?
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. He's certainly not being a background figure. And I know there are people, or like Tim Cohen, that believes he'll be the Antichrist, but he puts forth a pretty good case for that. But I'm not saying I agree or disagree.
Yeah.
But
I think he's a candidate. I wouldn't agree or disagree that it will be him, but I wouldn't rule it out either.
Yes, it is definitely interesting to look at Tim Cohen's point of view. And I did interview him some years ago when he was still Prince Charles, but he's not going away. And often, you know, when someone becomes a king, they just become a figurehead and they lose their, you know, they don't have the power to speak out and they're not supposed to be political. And yet King Charles seems to still be very much at the forefront of this sustainable development goals agenda and, you know, all of that. So I don't think he's going away. And that's an interesting thing that they're having this big meeting in September.
Yeah. And what were those Commonwealth Games? Remember the Commonwealth Games from last year? I think it was July or so of last year, where they had this grand demonic festival opening up the games with the beast and the woman riding the beast. And there's King Charles, Prince Charles at the time, you know, overlooking this entire festival and nodding with his approval. And so, yeah, I think he's a candidate. I really do.
Because it had a light that appeared to be like Lucifer coming down as well at the end in that ceremony. It was definitely a demonic opening ceremony, that's for sure.
I mean, the Olympic Games often have demonic opening ceremonies, but that brought it to a whole new level. I'd never seen anything quite so overt, you know, right from the pages of the Bible with this big Moloch bull, which is the beast, and then that woman getting on top and riding it, and while their other women are surrounding it, offering their praise and worship.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really overt.
It certainly was. I mean, they're telling you what their goals are, and I think these elites, like, they do believe that they're unstoppable and that their goals are now unstoppable.
Yes.
They may not be feeling like they're happening as fast as they want them to, but maybe that's just not the truth either. Perhaps they do still think they're happy with the way it's going, but they schedule these meetings to give people the impression that we need to hurry it up so that more people get on board. I mean, it's insane the number of climate activists.
Yeah, I mean, this could just be the public propaganda talking points, you know, that it's not progressing fast enough. We need to accelerate this thing. You know, who knows if that's really true? I agree completely. You know, we never should take these people at face value, because it seems like, you know, they never really say exactly what they're planning, you know, or they give glimpses of it. They tell us what they want to do. But when it comes to the timing, I think that's where they're the most cagey, the most deceptive. They never really come out and give you the exact timing of anything. You know, this whole idea about 2030 being a big year, you know, how do we know that it won't be 2025 and that 2030 is just a psyop, you know?
Well, we don't. That's the whole point. And you can't trust these people. And the thing is, the Klaus Schwabs and these types, they're not even elected. Nobody's elected them. They've put themselves in this position to be king of the world, king, you know, in a sense. And yet, who asked for it? Like you mentioned before, who wants a digital currency? Nobody that I know wants to move in that direction.
Right. But that's why they need a crisis. Correct. Mm. Because they know that people will only be desperate enough to accept the terms of this Great Reset, New World Order, whatever you want to call it, if they are, what I have said in the past, sick, scared, confused, and broke. And what makes people sick, scared, confused, and broke? A series of crises, famine, pandemics, wars. World wars would be the ultimate, right? If we could have a world war with a massive die-off, a culling of humanity. There's just too many people to really control in the way that they want to control them. You know, I don't even know if there's enough chips that could be made to put one under the skin of every one of the 8 billion human beings on the planet. But if they could cull humanity down to about a 1 billion people, 1 or 2 billion at the most, I think that is sort of the magic number where they feel like they could, you know, completely control not only our movement and our activity, but even our thoughts.
Well, that's definitely the goal. I believe you're right on that one. So just to finish up, Leo, what do we do, you know, practically as Christians particularly, what do we do?
We continue to say no. It's that simple. We do not comply. Like we alluded to earlier in this broadcast, if the globalist wants you to use debit cards and electronic payments, eventually moving into cell phone payments with the digital money, you know, use cash whenever possible. Write checks. Ask your bank that say you want to order some checks. You know, you might get a strange look once, you know, because nobody's doing that. You know, think about ways to be self-reliant, which means what? Not only putting back some extra food and water, but try your hand at growing food. You know, it doesn't even take that much land, really. You would be surprised how much food you can grow on a very small plot of land. And it takes practice, though. People think that when the time becomes necessary, they'll just throw some seeds in the ground and everything will grow magically. It's not that easy when you actually try it. You're fighting the weather, you're fighting, you know, all sorts of other things, and the bugs and the insects and the weather and all this. So now is the time to be putting these things into practice, you know, becoming more self-reliant.
Yes, and I guess first and foremost, we need to be spiritually reliant on God too.
So 100%. Yeah, I mean, the land can be taken from us, the food can be taken from us, the money can be taken from us, but the only thing that can't be taken from us is our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, so, and it's a great time to be cultivating that now. Not when it gets any harder. We need to be,
yes.
I mean, I think that's a challenge for all of us, to really press into God now
yes.
And not think, oh, well, I'll just do it when it gets harder, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
If you can't do it when it's easy, what makes you think you'll do it when it's harder? Right.
Exactly. All right. Well, I better let you go. I know you've got another interview to do. So that was another great discussion, Leo. So thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tony. Good luck to you and God bless you.
Thank you. And folks, remember you can find Leo at leohoman.com. That's where you'll find his articles and so forth. Now, also remember aminutetomidnight.com. That's our website to go there and subscribe to us if you haven't already done so. And many of you will realize that my wife Holly and I haven't been able to be together because Holly's been in the US getting treatment for an illness, CIRS. And so we haven't been together for a while, and I hadn't been able to get into the US because of the border vaccine mandates that kept me out. Well, as of the 12th of May, those restrictions are being removed by the US government, so I can get into the US, and my plan is to be there in early June for about 8 weeks. So that's good. Holly and I will be able to be together. She'll still probably need to stay in the US for a while after that to finish the treatment before she can come back to New Zealand. But at least we'll get 2 months, hopefully, together in Pennsylvania. That's the plan. So please pray for us. Pray for financial provision, because it's definitely expensive for traveling and everything. And so I'm really having to trust that God's going to provide the means for me to do this, but that is the plan. So I'm kind of excited that we'll be able to be together for a while and hopefully do some shows together in America and so forth too. So that's just a little bit of a heads up. That's good news that finally the border restrictions are gone. So anyway, as I say, subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, where we put all of our articles and shows and everything else, as well as we have our BitChute, Rumble, YouTube, and Apple podcast channels too. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. If you want to help or are able to help, that's always much appreciated, and you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And the music used in the shows I've written and played and recorded, and there is quite a bit of my instrumental music on the website you can download if you haven't done so as well, if you like instrumental music. So that's pretty much it for this video. God bless, stay safe, and we'll hopefully be back in a few days with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight Show.